Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And today I have a returning guest, Carl Johan Kalleman. And today we're going to be talking about sacred geometry. And a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of having him on the show, and his great scholarship in terms of our physical biology, having a PhD in physical biology, having studied internationally with a Nobel committee member as one of his mentors, and being exposed to international science, and then ultimately his interest in the Mayan cosmology and the Mayan calendar. So when I saw the word sacred geometry, Carl, I was like, Dr. Kalleman, I just was so intrigued by that because that is what I've been teaching for 20 years. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful.
So tell me, how do you see sacred geometry as part of all of the great scholarship that you have been involved with, physical biology? How are the patterns of time move, etc.? What do you see as the significance of sacred geometry?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the very appearance of sacred geometry in human culture is a quite mysterious phenomenon, you know, within mathematics, there has for a long time been this discussion as where do the mathematical formulas come from? So there's basically been two camps. One say that, okay, this is creations by the human brain in order to understand the physical reality around us. But then there is also the feeling, you know, discoverers of mathematical formulas, they were often felt like divinely inspired. And so they basically been saying these come from God. That goes, that has been done at least until the 1920s or so. People have been talking about that. Now, geometry you might look upon as a aspect of mathematics, exactly the same question comes back here: where does the geometry come from? Is it from the gods or from God, or is it just a product of the human mind? That goes very much for sacred geometry as well. Where does it come from? Because we don't have any real geometry out there in nature. It's very rare to find it. So what's your thought about this?
Well, my background, Carl, is a healer. And so kind of like you, I've been very much involved in understanding what are these patterns in relation to the physical biology. So how I got involved with healing was actually in hospice. So I was in the worst case scenarios every single day. And then when I started to see what was happening when energy would quicken in the body, and the body would have a much more dynamic and almost, to use a term that you use, quantum leap of reaction to the body. And I recognized that it was always geometric patterning that helped me to understand that there's something significant going on here. And then, of course, another thing, kind of like you, having a parallel of studying the Mayan cosmology, I've studied the Native American cosmology. And they have a different understanding of mathematics, as mathematics is a language. And so one of my mentors is a linguist, so that has really helped me to understand the level of cloaking of information that we have been exposed to for so many years. And we take what is a story as reality, but the term sacred literally means secret. So it does not mean religious. It means something that has been secreted away, or something that in terms of religion, we know many things have been kind of pirated away. and sequestered to a select few instead of it being a part of the whole. So my understanding, and having been in crop circles literally as they were forming, which was a mind-boggling experience, let me tell you, standing in the stones of Stonehenge, looking at how Celts used geometry, and certainly how our body is designed. Everything is geometrically proportioned if the body doesn't have any damage or malformation. So, you know, all of these things, and certainly the way cells divide and the way a Fibonacci spiral is replicated throughout the cosmos, there's something here that keeps these patterns in place and why these patterns are significant.
Yeah. Well, I believe that this geometry and the sacred geometry, as we call it, actually emanates from the cosmic center.
Yes.
And that's the explicit view of the Maya. 5,100 years ago, according to their cosmology, which incidentally is exactly the time when Stonehenge was first being erected, they described a shift in the cosmic center that was clearly geometric. They talked about a eight partitioned structure, like you might say a compass rose is probably the best analogy to use for it. They say that was erected in the cosmic center. And as they understood it, then this geometry would spread across the universe and create a new kind of human being. And I think before this point in time, you would be hard-pressed to find any kind of geometric structures from human creation or otherwise even. But after that point, you know, you see the pyramids being built, which are these eight partitions structured, and at least the Great Pyramid in Giza is eight partitioned, like the geometric structure that the Maya would talk about in the cosmic center. And then, of course, today, you know, any behind us, both in you and me, everywhere there are these straight lines and so forth. But it didn't exist before this. And so I would be of the view that, you know, it is a sort of a sacred, or at least it is a geometry is generated from the center of the universe, like God, if you like to say that. And then we humans who have downloaded that geometry, we spread it everywhere, so to speak, and since then. And of course, it's a special art that's been secret, because, you know, when this downloading happened, people started to study it in some detail and developed geometric concepts and sacred geometry in ancient cultures in the Middle East and so forth. So it's a somewhat of a both divine and both human, I think, but originally, ultimately, I think it's a product of the cosmic center.
Yes, and I think that, you know, our Western mind is so enamored with using the word God, but, you know, it probably is more accurate to say creator and creatress, because the world is, or the cosmos is both masculine and feminine. In other words, nothing could be birthed without that. So what is so significant, I think, is having, I can tell you very briefly my experience of being in a crop circle, literally as it was forming.
Yeah.
It was just after a group of us had been in Stonehenge, and it was in the evening. And as we would turn and look and then look another way, a whole other area would be laid down right in front of us. Mm-hmm. But for lack of a better way to say it, the electromagnetic energy that was there. And who knows whether it was because of our own adrenaline rush of seeing these things, or if it was what was actually happening there was really significant, and that there was four men and four women exclusively. So there was balance everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that was.
Oh, that's an interesting four men. You know, they, you really have that eight partitioning there.
Yes.
You know, it's like the survival of Noah's Ark. There were four men and four women on that that survived. And Noah's Ark, as I see it, is really a representation essentially of a divine geometry and nothing else. But it, obviously there is a reason that it should have a rectangular structure and so forth. But that four, you have it in the same in Egypt, the Ogduad, as they call it, the four men and four women that were creating order out of the watery chaos that existed before. So, you know, who knows what the meaning of that was, that, but it's a remarkable coincidence that you had that four plus four. You will find the same thing exactly in Mayan world maps, you might say, that come from ancient times. You will find these eight people divided by a compass rose. And so just a remarkable coincidence that you happen to be there. Maybe that's what the whatever responded to in creating this crop circle.
Well, what's so interesting is, you know, as you have studied these waves of time, that's not the correct terminology, with the nine waves
Of creation, I would say.
Of creation. And there is somehow some connecting force. You know, what is making that go up and what is making that go down? What is making us have what we refer to as the golden ages and the dark ages of these cycles of time? So that, to me, is also a representation of some kind of connection. You know, it doesn't break. It's a continuous movement. And somehow we're on the stagnant line in the horizon, and we intersect at different places where we have more balance and we're out of balance. And certainly right now we're out of balance, but as I understand the Mayan cosmology, we're being given the opportunity to really refocus our balance.
Yes.
And see who we really are in connection to everything that's going on. So that's really why, you know, I was so intrigued with your scientific and very scholarly understanding, and also your visceral experiences in different cultures and experiencing what these different cosmologies mean.
Yeah.
And I think that we have an opportunity to really broaden our minds so that we really can work with patterns instead of being discordant with these patterns that are always going to throw things out of order. And therefore cause illness, whether that's physical, emotional, societal, whatever that happens to be.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted you there. I thought it was so interesting with the four men and four women. But I interrupted you there when you were starting to talk about the formation of the crop circle. So can you go on with that?
Well, it was, you know, there was four people that witnessed it. I mean, excuse me, four men and four women that witnessed it. But what was very interesting was the power that was felt there. And it just so happened that there was a gentleman who was accompanying us who was a nanotechnologist. And the amount of electricity and the amount of power that was there was shutting down all of his very, very sophisticated equipment. But if nothing else happened, it showed us all the power of the enormity of creation itself. And we are a part of all of this. And as human beings, we have to understand we're a part of it. We're not the rulers of it by any stretch. And so I think that we need to have more heartfelt and scholarly conversations about how do we actually change ourselves, not just in our mind, because we only know what we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when we give ourselves the experience or the time to experience, then we have the opportunity to learn so much more.
Sure.
Because true knowledge is what's coming to you, not what you're holding fast to and professing.
Yes, you know? Right. Exactly.
Because that causes a lot of problems, as we know.
Yeah. But what was the geometry of that particular crop circle then?
Well, it was interesting because it wasn't a typical geometry. It was, according to the people that we were with, was in the two gentlemen who were, one was a scholar about sacred geometry and sacred sites, and the other was this nanotechnologist. One of the areas that was kind of laid down in an oat field, which was not typical. It's usually a wheat field. Mm. And oat is very delicate plant. And this gentleman said, you know, there is enough power in one area here to literally electrify an entire town for a whole year. Mm. And, you know, so it was nondescript, except to say that, and I would not know this if it hit me in the head, they said it looked like a cosine symbol.
Cosine, what, trigonometric function?
Yes.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
it was so heady in the moment. You know, it was more visceral than it was cognitive.
Yeah.
But it really helped me to understand that there's so much more going on.
Yeah.
And it certainly is not coming from humanity.
No.
Because it was creation created everything and will continue to with or without us here.
Yeah. But, you know, I should add here that the idea that I'm proposing and basically coming from the ancient Maya, that geometries are generated or even projected from the cosmic center. They say that, you know, these are ancient inscriptions from Palenque from the 7th century, but they're pretty explicit. It sounds like they look upon the center of the universe. They talk about it as the place of creation, and they also talk about it as the raised up sky place. Mm-hmm. And sky in that meaning seems to mean more what like a slide or something like that. In other words, in that cosmic center, whatever intelligence is behind is sort of racing these slides, these geometries that are projected onto the universe. And so that may have something to do with the possible healing capacities of sacred geometric patterns. In other words, if we are able as humans to reproduce some of these geometries that are actually generated from the cosmic center, and then people are exposed to those geometries, it may help people remember their cosmic origin or the divine origin in that sense. And it may also then, to the extent that they remember that's always, I think, an uplifting experience to know that you're a bigger part of something much bigger than, you know, normally everyday life. But, and then that, I'm sure that can be used in different healing contexts and also in order to create a sacred environment for various kinds of ceremonies. Ultimately, because it all comes from this place of creation, the center of the universe.
Well, if you look at even the postulating of how our Earth and how planets were created, that a star explodes, and there is what is on the surface of the star becomes the molten center of the planet, and what was in the center mm-hmm. of the star becomes the mantle of the Earth. In our case,
uh-huh.
You know, so there is this, they call it the little big, there is this reversal of, but it's a continuation of efficacy. You know, mm-hmm. nothing is wasted,
mm-hmm.
but it's interesting because I've been doing a lot of research because I'm personally writing my third book right now and really trying to help myself understand how do we examine what it is we're going through in our own thinking that causes so much challenge. And again, a lot of this goes back to sacred geometry, which is patterns, whether it's patterns of our thinking that are distorted or patterns of things that work. One of the things as a healer, what I'm trying to discover is, you know, how do we begin to look at what are the patterns? Now, obviously, these are not the Platonic solids I'm talking about. And the Platonic solids, for those who are not aware, they're essentially a triangle, a cube, a tetrahedron, a dodecahedron, an icosahedron, a pentagon, these shapes that are replicated elsewhere in the world. But what happens when we distort these patterns? What happens when we distort our thinking? What happens when we follow unworkable ways? So it's kind of a stretch. I realize that, you know, geometry is geometry, but I am also trying to make the correlation. What happens when we have unworkable patterns in our thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have chaos, we have decline, we have civil unrest, we have mental illness, we have disease. And so what I'm trying to do is formulate these ways or look at the possibility of these ways of how they're connected.
Yeah. No, I certainly believe that you know, the geometric patterns that we are embracing, they will have a big role in how we think and how, you know, and even then how we relate and how the whole societies are faring. I guess I just want to add to one thing here when it comes to sacred geometry. And this is, you know, the Platonic bodies, for instance, that's a very, I would say, very sophisticated, very advanced form of sacred geometry. And maybe they have a role in creating the universe. I haven't seen anything really convincing, but maybe there it is. But I just want to emphasize that even such a very, very simple thing as a straight line or a point is really that too is sacred geometry. It's sacred in the sense that it originates from the cosmic center. And you don't really find straight lines in nature, in the physical nature around us. And yet, when it comes to human civilization, the straight line and the perpendicular lines play such a predominating role in shaping everything around us. And that's very simple, you know, the point and the straight line. It sounds very simple, but it's not simple at all. It's really something that's supernatural, you could say, because you don't have it if you look out in the forests or in the animal world or something like that. You don't have straight lines. It is supernatural. And not in the woo-woo sense of the word of supernatural, but in the sense
but above nature or beyond
it's
nature.
Above nature, mm-hmm. And it's really like a gift, I would say, to humanity, because we are the only species that are able to download this kind of geometry and put it and transform it into the physical reality. And how that is being done and so forth is probably a very critical thing for human civilization and culture.
If I'm not mistaken, when we both were at the Gathering for Humanity.
Yes.
And as I recall, you were speaking about an image that you had seen in the Mayan somewhere, and it was the Visca Pisces,
mm-hmm.
The two circles that cross one another and create this,
yes.
This partial, yeah. Oval shape, and you were wondering what it was. And I did a little research in the possibility of it being, well, the birth canal, mm-hmm. Emblematic of the birth canal, but also emblematic of coming into life, but also leaving life. So yeah, even that is a symbol that is referred to in sacred geometry, that Visca Pisces.
Yeah.
You know, what are these portals? It's a very big subject,
mm-hmm.
A huge subject. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to kind of, you know, imagination of people to see that there's so much more that we could be studying and to look beyond what we think we know.
Yeah.
So that we can actually begin to see what is workable.
Yeah.
When we see what is workable, then perhaps we can stop creating so much discord in our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you're working on? We only have a minute left, Dr. Kalaman. As always, this goes by quickly.
Yeah. Right now I've been writing a new article, and it's about understanding the current movement for social justice and racial justice, and trying to place that in the context of the Maya cosmology and how cosmic shifts in the cosmic center, quantum shifts in the cosmic center may have changed the human mind. In other words, the human state of consciousness, and how that is leading forward into a stronger sense of equality and justice as at this particular point in time.
I hope that article will be available, because I would really like to read it. Of course, I want to thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Kalaman. And am I correct in saying that people can read about you on your website, www.kalaman.com, C-A-L-E-M-A-N.com?
That's right. That's
and
right.
And you have at least four books, if not more, available.
I have seven books. Yeah.
Seven books. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate all that you do.
And I enjoyed this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Elaine Grohlman on Earth Wisdom Circles Empower Radio. You too can make your day as interesting or as difficult as you want, depending upon how you think.